At the conclusion of the above talk on Makif and Pnimi in Avoda, which left a considerable impact on the listeners, one of the Hasidim who felt the nearness to the Rebbe asked his blessing, that the Almighty should help us to bring these ideas into practice. The Rebbe replied as follows. Of course, one needs a blessing that the Almighty should help. But at the same time, we need to know without any self-delusion that with a blessing alone, we will not advance in our way through the world. A blessing is a very fine thing, valuable indeed, but it is effective only when one takes action. In the Torah, it's written, "Uveirachcha Hashem Elokecha b'chol asher taseh." Let the Lord your God will bless you in all that you do. There has to be real and actual avodah. This labor includes plowing and sowing, plowing one's ego, casting away the stones which prevent effective sowing, and then sowing within oneself the kinds of seeds that will sprout well. Avodah begins with one's I. One needs to make a truthful account. Who am I and what am I? Who am I? A divine soul. And this is Chelek Eleka Mimal, a part of God above. Or as the Alter Rebbe cites his verse in Tanya, Chelek Eleka Mimal Mamash, truly a part of God above. Not satisfied with the general statement that the second soul of a Jew is a part of God, the Alter Rebbe adds the word Mamash, truly and actually. All men of understanding know full well what the word Mamash signifies. Actual godliness, this is one's I. Next, one needs to know who is this I, to ponder deeply what is this I, that is, in what is it occupied, what should this I want, and what does this I want. This kind of detailed meditation is a plowing. It plows up the hardness, and the stones that make up one's stony heart are laid bare. This makes it possible for one to clear the field where the Aveda is to take place and to sow good seeds in it. If a person occupies himself with orderly Aveda, as Chassidus demands and teaches one to do, then a blessing is effective and achieves results out of all due proportions. In the verse which promises divine rewards, if you will walk in the way of my statutes, im b'chukeisai teilechu, the expression used is that the land will yield its harvest. V'nasna ha'aretz yivula. In the verse which warn of divine retribution, take care lest your heart be lured away. Hishamru lachem pen yifte levavchem. The expression used is that the soil will not yield its harvest. V'ha'adama lesitines yivula. The former verse uses the word eretz, land, while the latter says, Adama, soil. In the language of Chassidus, Eretz signifies Ratzon, will, while Adama signifies Seichel, intellect. And of the four terms which the Torah uses for man, Adam, Ish, and Ishgever, the first, Adam, signifies Seichel, and the second, Ish, indicates Midei's character traits. The Gemara says that the Jews in the diaspora practiced idolatry in a state of purity. Rashi explains, that is to say, their divine service is without devout intent and without taking it to heart. In the light of the teachings of Chassidus, this may be understood as follows. If a thing is done without kavana and without it being taken to heart, then it is avodah zarah, an alien worship. For real avodah is only that which is done with kavana and with attentive care. Hence, the promise contained in the verse, V'hoyayim Shemaya, and it will come to pass, if you will diligently obey, this is an Aveda to be done with Kavana, a labor of intellect to meditate on this godly subject, and an Aveda that must be taken to heart, the labor of refining one's character traits. If the Aveda is done in this way, then come the promises of V'achalta V'savata, you shall eat and be satiated. But if it was done without kavana, and without its being taken to heart, then this is what is termed Aveda Zara, alien worship, then even the Adama will not yield its harvest. And Adama, as we have seen, signifies intellect. That is to say that even if a person whose Aveda is such is exceedingly learned in Chassidus, and masters of numerous concepts, then even when he expounds Chassidus and offers explanations and expositions of its teachings, there will be no fruit. There will be clouds and wind, but no rain. There will be arrogance and coarseness of spirit, but no real practical Aveda. If, on the other hand, you walk in my statutes with Aveda, which is orderly, comprising divine service, both by the intellect and by the heart, then there follows a consequence, v'nasna ha'aretz yevula, that the land will yield its produce. In such a case, not only will the adama, signifying intellect, be fertile, but so too will the eretz, signifying will, yield its produce. It was explained a short while ago that there is a light which is pnimi and a light which is makif, that the ur makif is more intense than the ur pnimi. In the context of the faculties of the soul, ur makif and ur pnimi represent respectively ratzain, will, and seichel, intellect. When the ur makif becomes united with the ur pnimi, the latter becomes stronger, but only because of the influence and revelation within it of the ur makif. The produce that is yielded then, the fruits that come forth, stem from the ur pnimi. To sum up, the produce of the Eretz refers to the direct result of the Ur Makif itself, not merely to its effect on the Ur Pnimi. In terms of Aveda, this is the level of the love of God, which is called Ru'usa Deliba. In terms of Askala, it refers to understanding both the essence of a concept and the godly content which lies in that concept. This is the point of the blessing, that the land Eretz will yield its produce. It is palpably observable that Ratzin will comprises more than what in fact comes down into practice. This then is the point of this threefold blessing. Firstly, that one's will should yield produce and not remain restricted to will alone. Secondly, that this harvest should find expression in actual deeds, not being confined to a sound understanding of the subject, merely sermonizing beautifully, as is the case with one who studies a great deal of Chassidus without its affecting his actions, but doing good deeds, fulfilling beautifully. Thirdly, since the influence of the will is an ur makif, concerning which it is easier for one to dilute oneself as to one's actual spiritual standing than in the case of a Veda animated by an ur pnimi, the concluding part of the blessing is that one's Aveda should be done truthfully. One of those present asked, "If so, what is the difference between a blessing and a prayer?" The questioner evidently sought to imply that prayer entails Aveda, whereas a blessing affects a drawing down from above by means other than Aveda. To this question, the Rebbe replied as follows. Regarding the general difference between a prayer and a blessing, it is well known that blessings refer to hamshacha, a drawing down from above. Its aim is that which is present in the source, set aside to be drawn down, should indeed be drawn down, without any hindrance, and to its proper place. For example, our Father and our King has given us, all of Israel, a good year, with health and sustenance. Our sages teach us that a person's livelihood is determined for him from Rosh Hashanah. Kol mezeinosav shel adam kitzuvim loim erosh hashanah. And it has been explained in Chassidus that the word for livelihood, mezeinosav, in the plural form, implies both forms of sustenance, physical food and spiritual food. As it is written, Ki chayk li Yisrael hu mishpat alehe Yaakov, for it is a decree for Israel, a day of judgment for the God of Yaakov. In this context, the purpose of a blessing is that the physical and spiritual sustenance, which has been set aside this Rosh Hashanah for all of Israel throughout the world, should come down in a revealed kind of good, Toiv Galui, in the form of children, health, and ample sustenance, and the study of Torah and the fulfillment of mitzvahs through the awe of heaven. And when we say good, we mean good, in the way that we created beings understand it. In the prayers of Yom Kippur we ask, V'yitzarcha ha'toiv lanu tiftach, and thy good treasure house open thou for us. In this phrase, the pause should come after the first word, instead of after the second word. Hence, instead of the adjective hatoiv, good, itself qualifying the preceding noun, as in the usual translation given above, it joins the following word, so that the request now reads, Ve'oitzarcha, and thy treasure house, hatoiv lanu, which is good for us. In other words, good in our eyes, tiftach, open thou. It is explained so thoroughly in Chassidus that the treasure house above, is goodness in its entirety. However, within the realm of good itself, there is a hidden good. The kind of good of which the Alter Rebbe speaks in Igros HaKedesh in the epistle beginning Laskil Chabina. What we request is revealed good, and revealed good is that which is visible and revealed in the form of children, health, and ample sustenance, and the study of Torah with the Aveda which Chassidus demands. May the material and spiritual sustenance come down to all of Israel without any hindrance and to its proper place. This is the meaning of a blessing. Prayer is a request that something new be drawn down in the shape of a livelihood, health, salvation, the ultimate redemption, things which were not yet existent in the source. This is the general difference between a blessing and a prayer. A blessing seeks that which is present in the source should indeed be drawn down in practice without any hindrances, as it is written on the Heda Yaruz Tevarei, his word runs most swiftly. It seeks that the word of God, which its flow of material and spiritual good, should be drawn down speedily. Prayer seeks to effect a desire above that something should be drawn down from a higher level than the source. Both approaches, however, both blessings and prayers, require plowing and sowing. Though these preparations are different in the two cases, yet plowing and sowing there must be. One must toil. And may the Almighty grant that this toil should yield fruit, fruit which is good both spiritually and materially. When one of our brotherhood or one of the Tamimim arrives here from some township, I ask him if Chassidus is being studied over there, and whether there is a set time in the local synagogue for the study of Chassidus and of Nigla, the revealed levels of the Torah. There are those who answer that there is no one to study with. So I ask, is there absolutely no one? And they answer that there are one or two, perhaps even three. This is the answer to my question as to the public study of Chassidus. I ask further, nu, and what about a study session in Gemara, a chapter of Shulchan Aruch, and the like? Again, the same answer, there's no one to study with. If some effort had been made, then seven or eight people would have met for group study, perhaps even a minyan. I am duty-bound to make it known to all those who satisfy themselves with the excuse that there is no one to study with, that they bear a weighty responsibility. This they need to know. The truth is that if a person lives in a small township or village where there are no Torah scholars, if he has a will to do so, he can do it, that Torah should be studied publicly. Experiences have shown that if only there is a person who is actively devoted to awakening the people around him to the need for public Torah study, things move, thank God. Everyone, even the simplest and most ignorant of Jews, is eager to hear a word of Torah. Everyone is happy to hear a saying of our sages, a passage from the Agada, a Medresh, a Torah law. There are those too who want to hear a word of Chassidus. It all depends only on the one who proposes such study, one to whom the outcome really matters. An obligation to initiate these things lies on each member of the Chassidic fraternity and on each one of the Tamimim. Let everyone keep in mind the following statements of our sages. Whoever saves one soul among Israel is regarded by the Torah as if he saved an entire world. And again, whoever teaches Torah to his friend's child is regarded as if he was his father. The sages do not speak of saving souls or teaching his friend's children in the plural. For one soul, one child, is an entire world. The times which are fixed for the public study of the Torah are the Eitz Chaim, the wooden rollers of the Torah, which are known as the Tree of Life, to which every individual should hold fast throughout the year. Then the Torah will be happy with us. That will literally be Simchas Torah, the rejoicing of the Torah, for the Torah will rejoice with the Jewish people. as to whomever will devote himself to rousing the people around him to set up public study sessions, it is obvious that the Almighty will grant him success in his material endeavors. The Torah will not remain in debt to him. The Torah is called Torah's Chesed, a Torah of loving kindness, because it always arouses mercy for the Jewish people. For this reason, too, the Torah is called Kais Shel Bracha, a cup of blessings, for by her entreaties to the Almighty, she secures for them an abundance of blessings. He who dedicates himself utterly to sparking off the establishment of regular Torah study sessions in public, him will the Torah bring an abundance of good, both materially and spiritually.